You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Laura Fitzgerald. There are a lot of decisions facing California voters on the November ballot, from congressional races to choosing the next governor to a fleet of local office holders and everything in between. But two major issues could also make their way onto the ballot, and both are causing a bit of controversy, straight down the political partisan lines. A one-time tax on billionaires floated by organized labor and progressive groups, and a voter ID measure being pushed by Republican groups. Last week, pollsters from UC Berkeley put out survey results from thousands of California voters to get a sense about how they're feeling about these initiatives. Nicole Nixon is a reporter covering California politics for the Los Angeles Times and joins us now to break down the details. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. Welcome back to CAP Radio.
Happy to be here.
So let's give a little bit of context. How and why did these two main ballot initiatives, the billionaire's wealth tax and voter ID, come to be?
Well, they've been talked about for a while. I think late last year is when we started to see them gathering signatures to actually put these on the ballot. The voter ID group, they've turned in all their signatures. There is, I think, to get something on the ballot, citizens need to collect 875,000 signatures from registered voters throughout the state. So the voter ID backers turned in 1.3 million earlier this month and are hoping that that will be officially on the ballot. And then the billionaire's tax was announced in October, and it would be a 5% tax one time on the assets, not just, you know, the annual earnings of California residents that are worth $1 billion or more. And the labor group behind that measure says that it would raise about $100 billion, primarily to backfill cuts to health care under the Big Beautiful Bill, which was passed by Republicans in Congress and signed last year by President Donald Trump. That group is still gathering signatures, and they have until late June to turn those in. So neither of these have officially qualified for the ballot yet, but they are definitely getting a lot of attention, a lot of chatter, you know, as the November election gets closer.
Especially since it looks like they're going to be successful with those signature gathering efforts.
Right.
Have similar ballot measures been proposed before in California, and how have they fared?
I don't think that we've seen a voter ID measure for the ballot, at least in recent memory that I can remember.
Yeah.
And same thing with the billionaire's tax, although California does have, you know, kind of a history of approving taxes on wealthier earners. There was a millionaire's tax about 20 years ago that was approved, and that pays for behavioral mental health services, and some higher income tax for higher earners that supports schools. That is actually, they're trying to get that extended this year, so that may also be on the ballot. There's about 40 potential ballot measures out there gathering signatures right now. Obviously, I don't think all of those will end up qualifying, but we could have quite a lengthy list of ballot propositions on the November ballot this year.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into some of the details on these measures, starting with the wealth tax. You've mentioned what it would do. It would impose a one-time 5% tax on the assets of residents worth $1 billion or more. Do we have a sense of the universe of people that this would actually impact in California?
Yeah, the group behind it, which is the SEIU, United Healthcare Workers Union, says that it would impact about 200 residents of California. So there's about 200 billionaires living in the state. There's been a lot of talk even about this part of the measure because some of those billionaires, you know, the co-founders of Google, Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, have started to buy properties outside of California and office spaces and kind of attempt to change their residence so that they may not have to pay this tax if it does pass. Now, the ballot measure, I believe, includes some language that it would be retroactive. So if we vote on, if voters pass it this fall, it would apply to anybody who called California their residency beginning on January 1st of this year. There's, you know, some talk about whether that would stand. There may be some legal challenges over that piece of it, even if it does pass. So you know, this has to get on the ballot first. Voters would have to approve it. But even if that passes, I think that this would be a long, you know, there could be a lot of court challenges and issues over this.
Absolutely. So moving to the voter ID initiative quickly, California doesn't require voters to show ID when going to the polls. Supporters of this, you know, measure, though, they say these laws prevent election fraud. Who's backing these plans? And then also on the flip side, what does the opposition look like? What are the arguments for and against?
Right. So this measure is pushed primarily by Republican Assemblymember Carl DeMaio. And he's been kind of the champion for this for the past year or so. And yes, it's supported by a lot of Republican groups. And his main argument is, yes, that people are not required to show proof of citizenship when they go to vote. The arguments on the other side say that, you know, the voter fraud is rare, that non-citizens very rarely do vote in elections, and that there are already those checks in place that when people register to vote, they may not have to show like a passport, but there are checks internally that the elections officials do to confirm that people are a citizen. And that, you know, people who are not citizens of the United States are not voting. That is illegal. You also have to testify when you register to vote under perjury that you are a citizen of the United States.
Mm-hmm. So last week, UC Berkeley's Institute of Governmental Studies, they released their polling findings showing voters' support for these two initiatives. What were the takeaways?
Yeah, I think the main takeaway for me, at least right off the bat, was how many people hadn't heard of these. It seems like, you know, these have been taking up so much oxygen in the political atmosphere lately. There's stories every day, it seems like, about what either mm-hmm. of these two initiatives, but only about 60% of people had heard of either of these. So the pollster, Mark DiCamillo, told me that he was really surprised by that. Now, when it comes to, of course, you know, the November election is months away, so people will definitely be inundated with ads on either side if these both do make it on the ballot. As far as support goes, the billionaires tax, 52% of those surveyed said that they would support it, compared to 33% who would said they would vote no, and then about, I think, 15% undecided. And for the voter ID initiative, that was a lot more split. It was 44% support, 45% no, and 11% undecided. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what about, so that's kind of the raw numbers of where support is falling right now. And I know, like you said, it's still early. What were the partisan takeaways? Was there a partisan breakdown of how people feel about these two ideas and like whether that informed which side they would fall on?
Yes, very much so. For the billionaires tax, Democrats are way more likely to support that. As 72% of Dems said they would vote yes on the billionaires tax, compared to 72% of Republicans who said they would vote no. And then it was almost, you know, the opposite for voter ID. 91% of Republicans said they would vote yes for the voter ID measure, while 68% of Democrats said they would vote no. And then the no party preference voters, or those who are registered with another political party, were very much split on the voter ID one, too, 43% on either side. So, that, you know, cuts right down the middle and really speaks to the kind of how partisan this issue has become.
Absolutely. And like you said, we're still months out from the election. So how much weight should we put in these early results?
I mean, they're definitely early. You know, like I said, neither of these has officially qualified for the ballot yet. I think that, you know, it's pretty likely that they both do end up on the November ballot. But, you know, I talked to a ballot measure campaign like veteran expert here, and he said that a lot can change, obviously, in the next seven and a half months before that November election. Especially on the billionaires tax, obviously billionaires do not want to get this tax, so they are putting up a lot of money against it already. There are a few different ballot measure committees, but one of them has about $45 million in it already, so that just kind of speaks to how early on they're they're getting together to put forth a lot of money to fight this. And, you know, there could be a ton of ads and a ton of mailers urging people to vote against it and kind of playing up the arguments on the no side. So, yeah, and with 52% of the total surveyed voters saying that they would vote yes, and then all that money on the opposition side, I think that you could see some chipping away of that support level. But again, all of this remains to be seen.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with LA Times reporter Nicole Nixon about two major ballot measures that could go before voters in November. So, Nicole, there's a push on the federal level through the SAVE Act to require showing proof of citizenship to vote. Congress was debating that last week. What kind of impact could that have here in California for this voter ID initiative?
Mm-hmm. Well, the SAVE Act, if it does pass, which it needs 60 votes, so it looks unlikely because none of the Democrats have said that they will support it. So President Trump is pushing really hard to, you know, get this debated in the Senate, but it you know, right now looks unlikely that it will pass. If it does, though, it would preempt state election laws. So, it's unclear how exactly it would interact with the voter ID ballot measure. But, you know, either way, people would be required to present a photo ID at the poll or proof of citizenship before they vote. Some differences with the voter ID initiative and the SAVE Act are the SAVE Act would do away with universal vote by mail, which is, you know, the preferred way that Californians vote. Most Californians vote by getting that mail-in ballot and mailing it back or dropping it in a drop box. So that would be probably the biggest disruption, the biggest change if the SAVE Act passes. The voter ID initiative leaves vote by mail alone largely. The change there with the initiative is that it would require voters who do vote by mail to write like a PIN number, of like a voter ID number on their mail-in ballot so that elections officials can confirm whether someone is a citizen.
Mm-hmm. And this, you know, you said we haven't, not in, in recent memory at least, you know, we both cover the Capitol. We've, you know, haven't seen a measure, a voter ID measure hit the ballot. But as you know, there have been lots of legislation trying to establish this. And what's gone on with that and how is this effort different?
Yeah, well, Democrats, and maybe I should have made this more clear at the very beginning, Democrats are opposed to these voter ID pushes. They say that, again, like this is solving a problem that's not really a huge problem, that evidence of non-citizens voting in elections is very, very low, and that requiring documents like this, you know, not even just a driver's license, because people who are not citizens can get those, but, you know, a birth certificate or a passport, it really limits who can vote. I think like 1 in 10 Americans don't have access to a passport or a birth certificate or this kind of documentation. So they worry that it would disenfranchise people without resources to get those kinds of documents. So Democrats have very much opposed these measures. That's why they're against the SAVE Act and this voter ID initiative.
Do you have a sense of how different communities are responding to the voter ID proposal? I know the state has a very significant Latino population, which has major power during elections.
Yeah, that stood out to me, too, in the poll. And again, it's early. I was cautioned like not to read into this too much because Latino voters tend to kind of decide, make up their minds on their ballot at the last minute. This poll showed that like 50% or 51% of Latino voters said that they would support the voter ID initiative, which was pretty surprising. It was 44% compared to 41% said they would vote no. But voters who speak predominantly Spanish at home, 59% said they would support. That's compared to 41% of English speaking voters. And then like first-generation voters and voters who were born in a foreign country are also more likely to support the voter ID, which, you know, was maybe not totally surprising, but it does speak to some of the concerns or the reasons that folks said that Latino voters broke for Trump in 2024 is that there's this idea that they follow the rules and they've done all the things, wanting to push back on, you know, the idea that people who are here illegally may be voting and getting benefits.
Mm-hmm. So, like you said, these ballot measures haven't made it to, they haven't officially certified, qualified for the ballot yet. What threshold do they have to hit? Can we remind listeners, you know, what work has yet to be done to qualify and where those efforts stand?
Yeah, so with the voter ID, their deadline has passed, so they've turned in all of their signatures, which I found the number is 874,641 valid signatures from registered voters in the state. So those are being checked right now. I don't know how long it will take before the Secretary of State announces that it has qualified. And then for the billionaire tax, they have until June 24th, I believe, to gather their signatures. They had to certify that they reached 25%. They're like a quarter of the way there. I think that was earlier this month. So they are gathering signatures. They still have a few months to do that.
Yeah. So ballot measures will ultimately be decided by the voters, but how are lawmakers and state officials responding to them? And, you know, notably Governor Gavin Newsom, where does he stand?
Newsom has come out against the billionaires tax, which, you know, maybe surprising as a Democratic official, but he has always, you know, since he's been in office, opposed new taxes, wealth taxes. So that's a consistent position for him. Now, a lot of Democratic voters are upset that he's not getting on board with this. And then, I don't know if he's commented on this, but I think we can imagine that he's not for the voter ID law. He has talked about, you know, that disenfranchising voters in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Does it seem like, you know, from lawmakers at the Capitol or anything, like their responses and takes on these measures are kind of following that same partisan divide that we saw through the polling from UC Berkeley?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think for one thing that's really complicating things for lawmakers, especially with the billionaires tax, is there's a good set of Democratic lawmakers who want to raise more tax revenue. Obviously, we are in this deficit. We have this structural deficit years out. I mean, the LAO is saying that the state will deal with, you know, $10 billion plus budget deficits for the next few years. So there's a group of people trying to raise more tax revenue. And in conversations with those Democratic lawmakers, they kind of see this billionaires tax, while they support it, many of them see it as this kind of complicating factor that's hanging over the session this year. They want to move in the meantime, and there are some proposals for that, like this water's edge tax, it's called, to collect more revenue from multinational corporations. I think there is a little bit of, I don't even want to say frustration, really, but I think that they wish that they can move faster. Meanwhile, this billionaire's tax is going to take months to settle, maybe even longer, as we talked about.
Mm-hmm. So we've mostly been talking today about the voter ID initiative and this wealth tax. But apart from these two measures, are there any other ballot initiatives that could be gaining steam that you have your eye on as November gets closer?
So many. I mean, we talked about the healthcare union behind the billionaires tax. There are a couple of potential measures out there that are trying to stop unions from doing this type of thing, from putting so much money and effort behind these kinds of sweeping ballot measures, limiting what they can spend, unions can spend politically. And I think especially in healthcare unions, we've seen a lot of activity on the ballot measure front. People might remember there were like three ballot initiatives in a row to try and regulate kidney dialysis clinics. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, still echoing here as well. People may see, I know they're definitely out in front of my grocery store, the signature gatherers, and they've just got like a long list and like all these clipboards that people can sign. It's interesting. These signature deadlines are coming up over the summer, I think August. Maybe many of these haven't to gather signatures. So I think it will winnow naturally, but we could have a very long ballot measure list in November.
Yeah, and we'll get a better sense of what that list actually looks like after the summer, it sounds like. So what are you going to be keeping an eye on going forward?
Wow, good question. Whether the billionaire's tax actually does qualify, I think that, again, people expect that to happen. But there are some, I haven't even talked about this yet, the billionaires that are opposing this measure are also kind of funding some efforts that could cancel out. So there may be competing ballot measures to the billionaire's tax on the ballot. I think that we've seen this kind of tactic before, trying to put multiple things on to confuse voters so they just vote no on everything. That's definitely, an election tactic that ballot measure folks use. So definitely be keeping an eye out on that and how many we actually end up with.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicole, thanks so much for being here today. Really a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks.
Nicole Nixon is a political reporter for the Los Angeles Times. We've been talking about two ballot measures floating, a billionaire's wealth tax and voter ID mandates, which could go before voters in November. Still ahead, spring has officially sprung, which means peak wildflower season is just around the corner. We'll check in with an expert about why all the heat might mean this year's blooms will be less than super. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Laura Fitzgerald. We're back in just a moment.